The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Open line through to one. So call, text, email, and WhatsApp. Tell me what's on your mind. Could be light-hearted. Could be serious. Could be a bouquet. Could be a brickbat. Whatever you want to do. See, the RNLI was called out of Peel yesterday. The volunteer crew aboard the lifeboat were joined by a Coast Guard helicopter from Prestwick, searching an area of water. There was an emergency distress signal. After spotting something in the water, marking it with a smoke device, they found a large battered rubble bag. All that fuss. A large battered rubble bag. So well done to John Corlett and all the gang out yesterday from Peel yesterday afternoon. A large battered rubble bag. Wow. Where's Bill Dale when you need him out at sea? The hospitality sector is to voice concerns this afternoon. There's a forum. Enterprise and Treasury Ministers are going to be hosting a forum. That's Tim Johnston and Alex Allenson will be facing the hospitality businesses to discuss challenges facing the industry on the island. And the LVA, Licensed Vigilers Association, say they're facing pressures from wage increases, recruitment issues, and reduced footfall. It's at the Manx Museum. It's ticketed, but if you want to go, you can. Just go to manxradio.com, click on the news story, and you can reserve a place. It's free, but you'll need a ticket for the Manx Museum this afternoon, 4:15 until 5:30. The hospitality industry is one of those industries that you never know what you've got until it's gone, until perhaps your favourite cafe, your favourite restaurant, your favourite bar, for that matter, could just disappear. And too late then, of course, because by the nature of hospitality, everybody presents a very positive face when they're serving the public. But it is a troubling factor that the hospitality industry does seem to be in some sort of distress. It's important to us, the people who live on the Isle of Man. It's also important to the visitors, the customers. We're going to have a lot more of those in a few weeks' time when TT is underway. And TT is really important to the hospitality sector. They need to make plenty of money. It's a pattern that was common years and years ago when the Isle of Man used to have hundreds of thousands of visitors. Everybody had to make their money in that 13-week season. Some people shut up shop for the winter. But having to make your money in hospitality is something that is a fact of life. And there will be hospitality owners now, and perhaps it's you, who yesterday were going through the books and looking, and perhaps looking down the barrel of something unpleasant. But we'll see what government has to say. They've said that, you know, there's no special treatment for special sectors, talking about VAT. But we'll see what happens in the future with that. Thank you, Chris. I had the time, but I had no inclination or motivation to talk to the Chief Minister or any member of COMIN. What would I have benefited if I'd attended? It's quite ironic. Chief Minister feels it necessary to listen to the public when he doesn't engage with backbenchers. Supplementary questions sometimes go unanswered. Sarcasm and belittling come to the fore. In politics, petty point scoring is the norm. I find it tiresome and unpleasant. It's disingenuous to the public. So how refreshing would it be if the administration had decided to do things differently and once again come up with policies the public could identify with and support? This is Chris's point of view. Politics is about the will of the people. The public never voted for the island plan. Wasn't even written by the chief minister or his ministers, but by a firm of accountants. So where's the logic in pursuing a plan that increases the population to the detriment of the existing residents? Are these additional people suddenly going to make our existing problems disappear? Will the pressure on the hospital reduce? Will there be more operations carried out? Will doctors' appointments increase in number and reducing waiting time? Will there be more dentists? Well, of course not. So why persist, says Chris. Unfortunately, like previous administration, I think we're devoid of original ideas, creative thinking and bold initiatives. Chris says, instead, we've got the same tired rhetoric that we've always had. I, like many people, I'm sick and tired of this approach. The Isle of Man could be a showcase for good government and how it cares for its people, its heritage and environment. Fortunately, it's failing, and failing badly, says Charles. Okay, Charles, we know what you're against now, Charles, but any pointers to the future, anything positive, any bright shaft of light that could point the way forward? And Brian's on now. Hi, Brian.
How are you today?
Good, thanks. Well, a bit wetter than I was at the weekend.
I know. I was just going to say the same thing. Had a fabulous weekend and now it's just gone downhill. But I'm just on the subject of particularly local politics, but this reflects right across the spectrum, national and local. We've had, I think, 4 elections this year already. The turnout in Port St. Mary was round about, from memory, 25%. Now, Port St. Mary, 10 years ago, were bankrupt. They had to sell the town hall because of financial mismanagement. But the people of Port St. Mary don't seem to be bothered about that. Ramsay's election was on the 1st of April. They must be thrilled with the commissioners in Ramsay because it was uncontested. Bride, Andreas, both uncontested. People just aren't showing interest in standing or voting for the people that are going to look after their money for the next 4 or 5 years. And unless people start sharpening up and start taking an interest, it's never going to get any better.
When did the wheels start to come off? I mean, when did elections start to become uncontested, Brian?
Well, it's been happening over a period probably since about 1984. That's when we made a really retrograde step, when we started paying our politicians. And up until that point, politicians, it was a prestigious thing. Once you start paying them, it becomes a popularity contest and people start trawling round, granny farming and all the rest of it, trying to get themselves in just for the money. And because they're coming from a background, usually where they've been employed, they don't have to have any business acumen or any real interest in doing the right thing for the people. Back in 2010, I broke the mold. I had a real battle with Onchan commissioners because at that time we had 10 sitting commissioners plus a rural committee of another 3. And I reduced that by a motion, but had to lobby and argue the sensibility of it and how the cost savings would filter their way through to reduce us to 7. I really would love to see it come down to 5. You need fewer people in power, if you call it that, because a local authority shouldn't have any power. They're only got to look after the bins and the footpaths. They're not major science there, unless, of course, you go to Port St. Mary 10 years ago when they threw themselves into massive debt, or in Braddon, where they've stepped outside of their remit and started major expenditure on projects that they have no ability to control. We have to look to the future, and in the future we have to reduce the number of politicians that we have island-wide.
I seem to remember, Brian, that when the wages, if you like, when the wages for politicians scheme was introduced, when they started paying, if you like, the market rate, this was almost an egalitarian move. What they didn't want were posh, rich businessmen just grandstanding as politicians. And because other people had jobs and couldn't afford to take the time off, they wanted to that was the intent, was to level the playing field, surely.
Yeah, and it's had the retrograde step, because the problem is it's become a popularity contest, and a person with a brilliant personality and a happy smiley face and the ability to kiss babies with absolutely no business acumen walks in and takes charge of major government departments, and the civil servants lead them by the nose through all these things, and the civil servants are let, who, by the way, have come up through the ranks, so they've never had to be able to justify the expenditure on any of these projects. And, you know, you've only got to look at projects that have doubled, trebled and quadrupled in price. That could never, ever happen in the private sector, because the companies would just go bankrupt.
So
they wouldn't be here.
So what do you do? I mean, how do you encourage you? And you're going to have to encourage people to become politicians if people plainly don't see the point in doing it.
Well, most people that I speak to that have a good business acumen and would be potentially good politicians and leaders in our community won't bother themselves, because they don't want to be arguing with a bunch of half-wits. I couldn't do with that, as they say to me time and time again. When I was in Onchan Commissioners, a lot of people said to me, I don't know how you do it. I really don't know how you put up with arguing against stupid people.
Why did you become an Onchan Commissioner, Brian?
I stood originally for the Board of Education, because my son was at school and I thought it's the right thing to do. I wanted to have a say in the control of schools and try and do something to help education and children. I went away with several good school trips and things like that. I went into Onchan Commissioners with great expectations of changing the planet. But you get worn down. There are just too many people who have their say, have no interest in actually studying what they're promoting. I mean, the green issues that we're seeing time and time again being forced upon us, have they thought them through? I will support anything that I can understand and see that it's proper and is going to have an effect and a benefit. But I mean, we've got so many things on the cards at the moment that just don't fulfill that role. I don't understand why we're going down this route. There are so many flaws in the physics of what we're looking at. They're destined to fail. And at the end of it all, not one of the politicians that I come into contact with are ever prepared to stand up and be counted and say, I cocked up here and I'm really sorry. That just never happens. I mean, to hear Andrew Jessop pointing the finger at everybody, oh, it's gone wrong because of this person and that person. It's gone wrong, Andrew, because Braddon commissioners didn't know what they were doing and they got completely out of their depth. And now there's a major debt there that will affect people for many years to come. And it'll all get fogged over, just like all the other cock-ups. £400 million for a power station, if you remember. We still haven't started to try and pay that debt off. And we've had to amalgamate all the local, all the utilities to stop the MEA from actually being bankrupt. They've had to take all the reservoirs and all the assets from the harbours and all sorts of things to offset this major debt that they've got. Now, the way government works is you come up with a good idea in Timwald, and then they look at the feasibility and they bounce it to Treasury, because Treasury are then told, we need this sum of money, where can we get it from? And Treasury then look and study up and see how they can pay for this thing, and then they go back to Timwald and say, it's going to cost this much, and we will fund it if you want to by doing this and this and that and borrow money from here and sell that. And only at that point, once they've worked out how they're going to pay it back, can it be approved. But unfortunately, while they were building a new power station, nobody in Treasury noticed that a power station was being built and said, hang on a minute, I haven't seen that go through. I haven't been asked how we're going to pay for that. They just sat back, fat, dumb and happy, and let it happen. It's almost like you deciding to put a new wing on Manx Radio unilaterally and it going ahead and building, and you organising the building of a whole new wing and a couple of new transmitters, and management not even saying, what's Andy Wint doing there? And who's paying for that?
Now, before we sink into a pool of despair, do you see any optimism for the future?
Well, I would like to wake up every single man and woman of voting age, and particularly the youngsters coming through, and try and wake them up to the fact that this is their responsibility. They have to hold the people they elect responsible for all of these things. Nobody, especially me, I'm the biggest cock-up merchant that ever lived, but everybody will make mistakes. But hold your hands up when you get it wrong, and try not to get it wrong too often. As you know, I was associated with Goobe for nearly 40 years, and we got on really well together. And I cocked up several times, costing him lots of money. And we never argued about it. He always said the same thing. Whose fault is it? So it's my fault, AG. I'm sorry, but I screwed up there. And he'd say, well, stop screwing up with my money, and that's the end of it. But if you don't admit that you've got it wrong, you're destined to get it wrong again and again and again.
Okay, Brian, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Oh, one last thing, if
okay.
I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Commissioner's meeting tonight. David, just apologise, will you? Just say, I'm terribly sorry. I shouldn't have given that information out. It was in private. I apologise for doing it. And that'll shorten the meeting by half an hour.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
It's 25 past 12 on Manx Radio. We should stop charging NI on second jobs, says Paul. It's an absolute no-brainer. It'll help the economy and the industry employers. A lot of people are walking away from second jobs in the hospitality trade simply because of this. And again, it's been mentioned by the hospitality trade. Recruitment for hospitality is more difficult than it's ever been. Talking to Brian about slipping into a pool of despair, let's not get away from the fact that we have a thriving economy. We have a robust economy on the Isle of Man, and we're doing better than most people. However, because we're close to one another and because we concentrate on what's happening on the Isle of Man, and of course Manx Radio brings all the news all the time, broadcasts the politics live, we will concentrate on things that do go wrong. That's human nature. But we are doing well. However, the hospitality industry is often a victim of our thriving economy, in that young people can easily get plenty of money by going into the finance sector. They'll go into the finance sector and earn, well, you hear the numbers, well above 20,000 into 30, 40-odd thousand. So are they going to be bothered with sometimes a minimum wage contract working a second job in a bar at night or perhaps in a restaurant at weekend? Well, that's human nature. But remember, just like in COVID, Mr. Quayle said we had to, and Mr. Cannon, when he was Treasury Minister, said we have to maintain the architecture of hospitality, and that's why they were funded in COVID, to keep the hospitality industry there, A, for our visitors, our tourists, but also for us. We use it as well. We go to the restaurants at weekend. We go for Sunday lunch. We go for meals at night. We have birthdays. There are wakes happening. So that hospitality industry simply has to stay. Bring back the Love Isle of Man cars. That'll help hospitality, said David S. And Mark said, nice to hear somebody talking about that flawed island plan for a change. It's shocking how drastically they're changing the Isle of Man without any mandate, says Mark. TT just around the corner. Island looks sad and neglected. It's not a good look. Well, we've got time yet. Get the pots of paint out. My brother posted a card to me from Yorkshire on April the 15th. It arrived today, April the 29th. Did it go via the moon? An absolutely shocking service. You see, we don't hear from the post office about the nuts and bolts. We never got the amount of money that they saved by cutting the postal plane, by the airmail plane. We didn't know whether it was hundreds, thousands, or 50 quid. We didn't know. And we don't know, and it may be anecdotal, but this seems to happen all the time, where post takes a long time to get through to the Isle of Man. And thank you, 614, telling me off. You always say Manx Radio's on DAB. We can't get it in Port Erin and a lot of other places on the Isle of Man. My fault. I'll take Brian's lead. My fault. We are on DAB, but covering Douglas, Onchan and Braddon. It is a two-year experiment for DAB on the Isle of Man, and if it is successful, then it will be rolled out to other locations on the Isle of Man. So Port Erin, Peel, Port St Mary, Castletown, Ramsey, Laxey. We hope to get DAB out just as soon as this two-year experiment is there. But if you're in Douglas, Onchan and Braddon, we always appreciate any reception reports. If you can tell us what DAB is like where you are. There won't be an increase in our population, says 068. Where are the jobs for all these people? I think it's fantasy. There's nothing here for another 15,000 people. And we can't cope with them anyway, 068's opinion. Just adding a note on the hospitality subject, last week, Chairman of Ramsey Town Commissioners clearly stated Ramsey was down to four pubs, says Fran. There are six. There are three bars, then the Freemasons Hall and the Buffs Club, and a bar and drinks room above the town hall, making it 12 in total. So that's six pubs, three bars, the Freemasons, the Buffs, and a bar and drinks room above the town hall. Yes, they do. It's very nicely panelled as well. So lots of places for a drink. 12 places, although you wouldn't class the commissioner's hall as a pub. It's not gone that far. Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. The things that Brian was saying, I completely agree with all of it. He sort of nailed it all down, really. So what else could I say? Except, of course, the bottomless pit that will be the wind facility, if that ever comes to fruition.
But in particular, what resonates with you, Julian?
Well, it just seems that, what's gone right, actually, since 2021?
Well, I'm sure, and this is, the government, they created a government department a few years ago called Communications, which takes in all sorts of people who put out, communications from the government. But with, I'll be honest with you, you don't really see many good things. We never really see a kind of league table as to, how many people Manx Care have seen, how many operations have gone right that week. Some people don't believe in league tables, but some people do. So it would be nice if we did get a running total, and there are enough people in the communications department, but I would imagine, to do something like that. But it would be nice to know, and I'm sure, and remember, there are lots of people who work very hard inside government agencies, so there will be things, there will be roads that have been repaired properly, there will be utilities that have been connected properly and don't leak anymore. It's just that we don't really get to hear that sort of news, Julian.
Yeah, the problem is, I mean, yes, you know, you see some of the roads have been fixed pretty well, but when you look at the hemorrhaging of money on these projects, I mean, that puts all that into a sort of, it's pretty tiny, small potatoes compared to, you know, 60, 65 million overspend on the ferry terminal, for example, and then we're assured about the Erie Stain project, although, of course, they never talk about the interconnectors, which were vast amounts of money when they were touted by the Arup report that was commissioned here in 2019, yeah. And we know what the inflation's gone up like. So,
well, here, I mean, here's the thought. I mean, obviously, the Ørsted are talking about putting an offshore wind farm for the Isle of Man, and bearing in mind that's going to bring us some money in renting the seabed out to them. I mean, do you think we should just forget on the land-based wind farm and just wait until the Ørsted money comes in?
If that happens. I mean, I'm not keen on wind power anyway because of its intermittent nature and what it does to nature as well. You know, it's interesting with ESG and all this green stuff. They never talk about the downside to it. It's amazing. I mean, there's always a downside to everything. I mean, you can go out to the shops. There's always a downside, potentially, that you could slip over or have an accident. Yeah. There's no downside to all of this, which I find like the first argument I've ever heard where we've not heard any downside. I'll just get on quick. I'd like to talk just quickly about a protest that's in Tokyo, Japan recently, protesting against the new pandemic treaty along with the amendments to the international health regulations, which are due to be ratified at the 77th meeting of the World Health Assembly. And that's on the 27th of May, just 4 weeks away in Geneva. At this protest, they were expecting 500. 20,000 turned up, which caused them to scramble a bit. Mrs. Toshi Akida, who is Hino City Councillor in Tokyo, said, and I will quote what she said, "Disclosed to us all information about the WHO pandemic treaty and international health regulations. Stop manufacturing dangerous replicon mRNA vaccines. We will never allow the WHO to take tyrannical actions. We will never accept WHO's human rights violations. Stop fatal toxic mRNA vaccines." Nisayasu Inoue, who is a medical professor at Osaka City University School, said the fraudulent use of gene therapy drugs, particularly on healthy children, is an extreme violation of human rights. And also a class action has been launched by the Japanese public against the COVID vaccine manufacturers now that information has come out showing they knew about the toxic effects but didn't disclose them before they were granted immunity from prosecution. Now, I asked Jane Paul Wilson about the amendments to the international health regulations on your program. That was back in October, about 6.5 months ago. But there doesn't seem to be any mention of any of this pretty momentous change on our health regulations, basically allowing the World Health Organization, the WEF, to basically take over our decisions, almost usurping our government, really, in any kind of decision making.
And are we going to get roped into this? Are we going to sign this?
Well, this is what I asked Jane, is to whether the Isle of Man being a crown dependency, are we shackled to the UK on this one? And, you know, we're kind of, when you look at the UN, you've got, there's arms of the UN. So you've got the World Health Organization, you've got the International Monetary Fund, you've got the World Bank Group. Interestingly, you've got the World Meteorological Organization along with the International Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, and of course UNESCO, which is our UNESCO biosphere. But I also noticed in 2019, the World Economic Forum signed a strategic partnership agreement with Secretary General of the UN, Antonio Guterres. And of course, it was Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum founder and executive chairman, who co-signed it. And there are six areas of focus: climate change, digital cooperation, health, gender equality, education. So, you know, you've got an awful lot of, shall we say, remote entities that seem to be writing a lot of, shall we say, opt-out legislation. I mean, you know, at the moment, if we don't say anything, we'll be in on this. And I'm not sure if it's a particularly a good move.
OK. Well, we'll see what happens and whether or not that lands on the Isle of Man. To date, of course, it hasn't.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a statement, actually, because there's no media that I've seen anywhere talking about this. But it's a huge change to the way the world's been running. You know, every nation makes their own decisions about things. So, interesting.
Okay. Interesting. Thanks for that. Good to hear from you, Julian. 23 minutes before one on Manx Radio. I can't for the life of me understand what was Ballacameen High School fitting CCTV in the toilets for. This is completely wrong as well, says Big John. Angry and disgusted, Big John, for that matter. I think it was to stop vandalism in the toilets, John. That's my understanding of it. And Jenny's on now. Hi, Jenny.
Hello. Hi. Just looking back in time, I accidentally came across an article on the Eye Museum in the newspapers section that when governments always say moving forward, lessons will be learned, it would appear that, obviously, as we know anyway, that they didn't look. And also topically of the subject of landing stages, the Fleetwood was the go-to port between the Isle of Man and the UK. And in 1954, concerns about the future of Fleetwood landing stage when sections began to collapse. The two present berths used by the Manx steamers were built in 1870 and 1895. It was announced by British Transport Commission in 1954 that the question of the renewal of these two berths will be considered between 1956 and 1958. Presumably their future is known, but no announcement has yet been made. It is apparent, however, that the Isle of Man government have some knowledge of the outcome, hence their concern. Now, what happened next was the Manx government appear to say, well, why don't we just forget Fleetwood and go to Heysham? The article goes on to say that they were warned that they wouldn't get nearly the amount of visitors, holiday makers, if they moved up to Heysham. Lots of people came from day trips from Blackpool, get on the boat morning, go home, came for weekends, etc. But it appears, well, as the rest is history, as we say, that that's exactly what they did. And instead of repairing the landing stage, they actually just simply up to move to Heysham. And the numbers did fall dramatically of visitors coming here. But just it made me laugh, the final sort of paragraph, it says, the outcome of the conference between the subcommittee of the Governor's Executive Council and Fleetwood Town Council delegation, consisting of the Mayor, the Chairman, Finance Committee, Town Clerk, with the steam packet representatives joining in later, remains a secret. Apparently, all those who were attended were pledged to say nothing.
Crikey.
So, open and honest governments, etc. And I also, something I didn't know, discovered through researching into who'd lived in our cottage over the last 200 years, found an employee who lived here of the London, Scottish and Midland Railways. And it gave his address as being in Liverpool. I thought, what the heck was he doing buying other than a holiday home? But I discovered that the London, Scottish and Midland Railways went in partnership with the steam packet company, late 20s, early 30s, and they started an airline called Manx Airways.
That's
and
right, yeah.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah. Well, the London, Midland, Scottish, the LMS was, I think the Heysham was an LMS port. You can see by the architecture as you leave Heysham. Yeah. It's almost the same as the architecture when you come to the Isle of Man. So, yes, no, you're quite right. LMS did start their own airline to the Isle of Man, Manx Airlines.
Yes, well, Airways. They were Manx Airways, and they were, yeah, in partnership with the steam packet company. But going back to the original article, if anybody wants to look at it, it's in the newspaper section on the Eye Museum, February 19th, 1960, and it just goes to prove the subject of landing stages, the wrong decision was made not to repair the one at Fleetwood. They moved to Heysham. The numbers have historically dropped because of that, and everybody in all of these meetings was pledged to say nothing. So where's the open and honest government that they people went on to complain about that, and we're still in the same position now in 2024.
You want to be careful, Jenny, with that iMuseum website. You'll be there all day.
I've been sucked down that rabbit hole.
It's so interesting.
It is, but I have managed to trace the owners of our cottage right the way back to 1910. And going into articles then through the names, I discovered that in 1910, the old cottage in Ballykilferrick was owned by Boddington's Brewery, Pride of Manchester.
My word.
But why or how, I have no idea. I've left the rabbit hole at that point.
All right. Good to hear from you, Jenny. Thanks for that.
Take care. Bye.
All right. A note in from Texter 382. Why? Please talk about no passport entry, no security to the Isle of Man. So why don't we have passport entry or any security come into the Isle of Man? What's keeping the families safe? I'm worried about middle-aged people with no other commitments arriving here. So what's going to happen to this? No care for the environment, so many other reasons. 382. They are talking about this, and if I'm right, the chief constable is quite concerned about people coming here with no identification. Certainly, it's a matter of record that some of the people from the northwest of England, particularly the Mersey area, who've been caught in the drugs trade, have been coming to and fro with different names. Well, we'll see what the chief constable has to say. Thanks to don't give airtime to doom mongers. Thank you. That says 121. 121. There's an easy way to remedy that. You pick up the phone and call 66 13 68.
When couples decide to part, there's a lot to deal with. There's the matter of the children, the matter of your property, the matter of pensions. You need to consider the matter of existing wills, and perhaps the matter of a business. And because you matter, Mann Benham Advocates are here for you when it comes to divorce and family matters. For help and advice and a free initial consultation, call Mann Benham on 639 350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
Above deck or below, Harbour Marine Services has all your boating needs in one place. From engine sales and servicing to charts, books, dinghies and trailers, electronics, navigation, ropes, rigging and safety. Over 2,000 square feet of stock to help you stay safe on the water. Call 822-995 or find us on Facebook. For all your chandlery supplies, set your course to Harbour Marine Services next to Castle Down Harbour.
What do you mean you still haven't registered for this year's Manx Telecom Parish Walk? Entries close at midnight on Sunday, so hurry up. Visit parishwalk.com and do it right now. This is your last chance. Entry closes this Sunday.
Here at Qplas, we're not just blue, we're green. From smart boilers to heat pumps, Qplas supply products from the leading brands in renewable energy for a cleaner, greener home. So call into Qplas on Snugborough Trading Estate, the island's largest independent plumbing and heating merchants for trade and retail. Or call 673 131 to talk to our friendly experts about the latest cost-effective products in home heating and find out what we can do for you at Qplas.
John Shepherd is a sustainability consultant and technical director of Wren Sustainable Limited. He believes that government initiatives to help households become more sustainable are a joke, and he tells us why on Agenda this evening at 6 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. While government has legislation requiring it to deliver on carbon reduction targets, it seems that legislation is limited on requiring government agencies to help people reduce their energy needs. It certainly makes financial sense for us all to better insulate our homes and reduce energy bills, so why aren't more of us doing this? Is there real substance behind government greenwash?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's just after a quarter to one today. Just let me tell you, every Monday and Friday, because it's our 60th anniversary year, 1964 we came on the air. We're looking back in the archive, and today it's going to feature somebody that has featured in our news recently, and that is broadcaster George Ferguson. We posted on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, George has not been well. George has not been presenting the Saturday and Sunday breakfast show for a few months now. George has not been well, is on the road to recovery, is doing well and getting better every day. And we wish George all the best, and George will come back on the air as soon as possible, insulting everybody every day. Just what he does best. And just in passing as well, I'll tell you, if you're not on Facebook, one of our other broadcasters, Mike Buttle, has also not been well recently. So we're down two experienced broadcasters at the moment, George and Mike. I say that because you'll hear George after Man in Line finishes today. George's got one of the most infectious laughs you'll ever hear, and we'll hear the light side of Manx Radio as George attempts to get through some commercials, reading some commercials, and also we'll hear John Moss battling with a very thick Ulster accent. That's today after Man in Line today. Just to clear up some things, Brian says Texter 232, the Ramsey by-election was contested for candidates. I was one of them. The problem I saw firsthand, which supports Brian's point, was the lack of interest in politics. Some members of the public said it's because they didn't trust the government. Another issue was that the by-elections was poor advertising and limited timeframes, says Texter through 232. And Liz says, who want to stand anyway these days? Look at the mauling and the utter rudeness that they get on social media. I'm just shocked. Society has really changed. And Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Yeah, Andy, just a listener, we're saying about George. I can remember when Manx Radio used to be down in Castle Street, where Tower House is now.
Oh, by the old snooker hall.
That's under Tom Rees's, as it was called. It was under there, and there was a competition between George Ferguson and the Aquarium, because they were both... They were silent in a sense because you couldn't really hear them. They're both behind glass screens. And George used to be presenting Manx Radio from down there. As I say, it was under the building at Tom Rees's, the snooker hall. And I can still picture him sitting in the studio presenting his programmes. But going back to what that lady was saying about LMS. LMS were an integral part of the island, and if you look at a lot of the posters, it was LMS that was bringing the people to the island. They actually had an office in Walpole Avenue where you could purchase tickets or go down and make inquiries, etc. That's long since gone. But that was they also had the Automobile Association there. It was down virtually alongside what we call the Pizza Hut now, is it? Most of it's gone. There was Guys and Dolls, and the charity shop is there now. But LMS did play a large part in it. But going back to the Fleetwood, silt was a major problem there, and still is. And there was another shipping company that used to sail in and out, and they were freight as well. They were carrying freight. And they pulled out of it, not just the steam packet, because of the problems with the silt. And even the lifeboat, that has to have continuous desilting or clearing up the silt to make it. I don't know, there's actually a lifeboat. I think there's still a lifeboat there. I'll stand corrected on that. But they were having problems all the time with silt. And when you go down to the sea terminal, there's a large model of the Mona's Queen down there. And that was in the Fleetwood Maritime Museum, which they've closed down of recent.
Does anything happen at Fleetwood these days? Because it is, I mean, as you say, the big problem is silt there.
Yeah, and that is continuing downstream into Heysham.
Yeah.
So the problem, it's just moving about the silt, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's just nature. Again, it's like the problems we've got here with the
Well, permanent. I mean, the fact is, I mean, it's nothing to do with climate change or anything like that, but the west coast of England is gradually tipping up, and the east coast of England is tipping down. It's the way the tectonic plate's moving, so that's why you see houses falling into the sea in East Anglia and in Yorkshire, and you know that's what caused the cockle pickers' deaths in Morecambe, because the tide goes out miles in Southport and way down to Weston-super-Mare. It's just a fact that the west coast of England is now more prone to silting up.
Yeah, well, this is if you see photographs of, say, of the Manx boats, the steam packet vessels going out of Fleetwood, or even coming in, and they had to go in, I think they had to go in astern, and you could virtually touch them, because they'd been dredging, they cleared that, and it was a deep channel going in. But the sand running down all the time, it was a continuous operation keeping it clear, and well, you'd wonder whether it was cost effective. And that's, I think, at the end of the day, they said, no, it's not. And, of course, LMS, that was part of the railway system down at Isham, because they built it originally.
Okay, I appreciate that, Howard.
Okay, take care.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. The idea, says 475, of not paying elected representatives would mean a political class in office who can afford to play politics to the detriment of the electorate. It's the opposite of democracy. Your caller assumed that businessmen and the wealthy would waltz in and all would be well. But I think government should be for the people, by the people, and of the people, and not an abstract concept. It's really important that we get this right, because we are closer to our politicians, I would suggest, than anywhere else on earth. So surely we can get this right.
Spring, a time for new beginnings and nature. This season, why not have a fresh start by switching your savings to Guernsey's Bank Skipton International and watch them grow? Skipton International offers a range of savings accounts, from fixed term to notice and easy access, enabling your savings to bloom for longer. So make this spring one to remember by switching to Skipton International today.
For details of all Skipton International savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
Get a taste of summer with ShopRite's new Fire Pit outdoor eating range. In the freezers, choose from marinated chicken portions, fish skewers, cheese and chilli pork sausages, lamb kofters and pork belly. Mix and match these and more. Any two for £6. Or how about any two for £8 for the chill range? Juicy burgers, smoky kebabs, jumbo sausages, pork steaks, mouth-watering chicken, with even more in store. Brilliant for the barbecue. Sizzling summer savours at Wainwright Douglas and ShopRite Onken, Peel and Ramsey.
The Illegal Eagles return to the Villa Marina 25th of May. Don't miss the ultimate celebration of the music of the Eagles. A critically acclaimed masterclass in showmanship that brings the legendary back catalogue to life. Book now at villagaherty.com or at 600 treble 5. Take it to the limit with the Illegal Eagles, 25th of May. Presented by RS Promotions and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Text 262. I was astonished by the response by Laurie Hooper at the Ramsey Comyn Roadshow when asked about the massive overspend by the Manx Care budget. His answer was, it wasn't an overspend. It was an under budget by Treasury. You have to admire him, don't you? Frank and Maureen say, they say we don't have enough doctors and dentists, so how on earth can we accommodate another 15,000 people and their families? I wonder what planet some politicians actually live on. Jane said, I'm sort of with Brian. Abolish commissioners, full stop. Why? Because however well-intentioned they are, in reality, they're responsible for very little. All the things they're actually responsible for could be centralised for all island cohesiveness, rubbish and recycling, for example. Thanks for your contributions today. Really appreciate it. Back with another open line tomorrow. And thanks to Ben Hartley on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
W-I-N-T.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
Usually what comes out of your wireless speaker is calm, considered and fluent. But there are occasions when the rigid professionalism of the presenter is found wanting, when all trace of that professionalism breaks down and giggling takes over. Here's an example. George Ferguson is taking part in a recorded doubleheader, an advertisement for a local firm. All appears to be well, at first.
The year 1477. William Caxton's putting the final touches to his first print run. Mr. Caxton.
What is it?
We've got a... Okay. Ready, let's go. The year 1477. William Caxton's putting the final touches to his first print run. Mr. Caxton.
What is it?
We've just got a huge order for colour printing.
I've only just invented it.
Now listen, if I can do it as ad lib as that.
I only just invented the press. That's all I've got. All right.
It's going to be hard work.
It could be a good one, this.
George Ferguson, for my part, there have been on occasion interviews where you think to yourself, what? Early on in my radio career, a trio of Irish stock car drivers arrived to be interviewed. It does help if you can understand what's being said.
Isn't the question of stock car driving just gritting your teeth and battering your way through to the front?
Well, it doesn't always work that way. You can go out and do that, you do it with... You stick a boy in the wire a night or two, you only do it the once or twice and he'll get cut for you, he'll put you on it. So you're better if you can manage it at all. By him, the best way, by him without touching him is the easiest way. Like, for every time you hit a boy, he always says, well, sometime I'll get him doing the same thing, I'll stick him in the wire and wreck his motor. He's at the car home wrecked a time or two, you're not long at falling back.
Part of Ireland's life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.